Welcome, and thank you for tuning into the Graceland Church podcast. Our mission is to follow Jesus and love our neighbor for the good of the city.
It's great to have you here at Graceland Church. I'm really excited to start off with a special announcement, a brand new church member that was born just a couple days ago. Can we hear it for Brooklyn Elizabeth Golden, December 9th? 2025, healthy, beautiful little girl, 8 pounds, 6 ounces. Goldens, if you're watching, we love you guys. We celebrate with you. Jacob and Lauren are her parents, and here's the whole family right here. If you could, just scan this QR code real quick. We'd love to bless them as a church family with some meals. Take a picture because it's only going to be up there for another 10 seconds or so. We're going to provide some as a church. Out of our benevolence, we build a fund just to help people that have new babies or surges and things like that. But we really rely on the church and friends of theirs to gather around them and provide some. So take a photo. It'll take you right to the place where you can provide them a meal. You don't have to cook it. You can just buy it for them. Thank you guys in advance for doing that. Today, we're continuing our Advent Christmas series, A Child is Born. It's based on the prophecy given over 700 years by Isaiah before Jesus was born. Today's title is The Wonderful Counselor. Read with me Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And it really struck me this week as I was preparing that the name of Jesus, Wonderful Counselor, addresses two of our core longings as people. One is that we want something wonderful in our life. The second is that we all want a really good, life-changing counselor. Counseling is really popular in our culture right now. It's been said that we're a therapeutic culture. I don't think there's anything wrong with that when it's in its proper place. My dad was and is a marriage and family therapist. He is retired now, along with being a pastor and a Navy chaplain. So I was raised in a counselor's house. I also see a counselor to this day. So even though I'm a pastor and I counsel a lot of people, I really value sitting with a Christian counselor at least once a month. His name is John Duvall right there in Cool Springs, and it really, really blesses me and affects my life. So I'm happy if you go see a really good counselor, but I want to start by reminding you of something really significant, and that is that you have access to the wonderful counselor. I'm glad you see a human counselor, but you have access to the wonderful counselor. I'm going to spend this message breaking down what that means. You see, the world is full of industries around these two things. We all want to build a wonderful life. How many here are old school and still say It's a Wonderful Life is the greatest Christmas movie? It's really, really up there. It's a great one. And there's nothing wrong with wanting a wonderful life, but we're surrounded by a culture that's trying to sell us and tell us what a wonderful life is. They're saying, buy this, become this, watch this, wear this, eat this, listen to this, and then you too can have a wonderful life. And then we also have a whole industry built around counseling and therapy. It's about finding the answers for our lives. And that's not only just human counseling anymore, but AI counseling. It's the whole new rage. Find your coaching and your counseling and your business planning and all your medical advice through AI. I was at a coffee shop, Honest in Berry Farms, just this week. And there were two young adults there, one working, one getting some coffee, and they were friends. And I was just picking my coffee up, and one of them said to the other, hey, I'm really excited because I'm about to get a new counselor in my life. And the other person sitting there, without any sarcasm, said, oh, human or AI? I was like, whoa. And then I joined the conversation because I was curious. So the three of us talked for a while, and they were completely serious. This young person was all jazzed about a new counselor and was trying to decide if it was going to be a human counselor or they were going to invest in a new AI counselor. And it might sound like joking to you if you haven't been exposed to this, but it's a real thing right now. And it's not bad, I don't think, to use AI for research. It's similar to Google to bring you information. But it's really bad if you start using it to replace the intelligence of heaven in your life. And you're now looking to AI to be what's actually shaping your decisions. And I want to just give you a spoiler alert in the message today. If you're longing for something wonderful, here's your answer. There's only one who is truly and fully wonderful. His name is Jesus. And all other wonders in this earth are a reflection of him. And anything that claims to be a wonder that isn't from him is not a wonder. It's an empty promise. And if you long for a life-changing counselor or a coach or a mentor or a guide or a pastor, that's perfectly okay. But here's your answer. The only life-changing, selfless, perfect, loving, all-powerful, all-knowing, perfectly trustworthy counselor is Jesus, the wonderful counselor. We have to remember that. I love how David Guzik says it. Jesus is the one fit to guide our lives and should be the Christian's immediate resource as a counselor. I want to encourage you to pray first. Don't pray second, third, fourth, or fifth. Go to the wonderful counselor. We're going to look at a guy named Simon Peter. His name was Simon, but then Jesus changed it to Peter. He was one of Jesus' apostles through which Jesus built his church in the book of Acts. But I'm going to take you all the way back as a case study in the message today using the life of Simon. You see, in the beginning of the Gospels, Jesus, the wonderful counselor, the fulfillment of this prophecy, walked up to Simon and his brother Andrew while they were just fishing, doing their job. And he locked eyes and he said, "Follow me and I'm going to teach you to fish for men." And right there, they dropped everything and followed him. And they all of a sudden had access physically to the wonderful counselor. And I want to remind you, if you're a Christian, and if you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian today. Jesus looks to you, calls your name and says, "Follow me." And at some point in your life, you hear that from him and you then have access to the wonderful counselor. And that's really good news because Jesus can help you with your problems. He's your savior. He's your Lord. He transforms your life and there is no problem in your life too small that Jesus can't help you with it. He offers perfect guidance that is beyond human understanding. He knows more than your therapist. Can I get an amen? He knows more than AI. Can I get an amen? We're talking about the wonderful counselor. You have access. He can help you with everything in your life. He sees more than you can possibly see. And there was a time in the life of Simon that I absolutely love. I want to share the story. Simon wasn't even a follower of Jesus yet. And Jesus rolled up. Oh, actually, let me set the context. Simon spent all night fishing, trying to literally make money. That was his business. He was a small business owner in Galilee, and he was fishing on the Sea of Galilee, went out, had a terrible night, caught nothing. It'd be the equivalent of you losing the job or having three clients fall through, whatever it may be. It was a really bad business night. And then that morning, Jesus said, "Hey, can I use your boat?" Because the crowds were pressing in around Jesus and they were right by the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus said, "I want to stand on your boat so I can go back into the sea and address everybody in the crowd." And Simon said, "Yes." And I love that example because Simon is being used by Jesus before he even knows Jesus. He's letting Jesus use what he has in his hand. So he's now a part of the kingdom of God breaking into the earth. Jesus shares the wonders of his teaching. And then afterwards, Jesus says to Simon, "Hey, Simon, go take your boat out to this spot and cast your net over there." And Simon's like, "Whoa, Jesus, I'm a professional fisherman. This is my business. This is what I do." I'm paraphrasing here, by the way. And I'm sure he thought this. And he's like, "I've been fishing all night. They're not biting tonight. It's no good out there." And then he said, "But because you said it." And I love that in young Simon, because there was a little bit of faith rising in him. He had just heard some of the teaching. Like you might come to a service like this and sense a little glow in your heart. Sense this sense of God's presence or nearness. You might not even be a Christian yet, or you might be wandering in your journey of faith, and that little bit of faith like Simon rises up so that when you hear the word of your wonderful counselor, you might have the inclination to say, "But because you say it." So it might make no sense at all, but because you say it. Can I just encourage you? Whatever your version of "because you say it" is, do it. Because then Simon Peter went back out, cast his net, and caught more fish than even his boat could carry. He had to get another boat, fill that to the point that scripture says their boats were sinking. That's how much God brought in because he knows more than you know. He knew more than Simon knew. Jesus is in charge of the fish. Just like Jesus is in charge of the money. This is metaphorical for us. If you're feeling financial pressure and pinch this year, if your business is not going great, or even if it's going wonderful, make your aim to listen to your wonderful counselor. and make your aim to say yes for however he wants to use what he has in your hand. Then Peter, his name was Simon then still, he came to Jesus and fell at his feet and said, Lord, I'm not worthy. And he left everything and followed Jesus. His life was changed forever. I like how Charles Spurgeon says this. Remember, there is nothing that happens in your daily life but what was first of all devised in eternity and counseled by Jesus Christ for your good and in your behalf, that all things might work together for your lasting benefit and profit. Oh, how strange providence seems to you and me. Does it not look like a zigzag line this way and that way, backward and forward, like the journeyings of the children of Israel in the wilderness? Ah, my brethren, but to God it is a straight line, directly. God always goes to his object. And yet to us, he often seems to go round about. And I love this line. Let us learn to leave providence in the hand of the counselor. Would you say amen to that? Let us learn to leave providence in the hand of the wonderful counselor. You can trust the wonderful counselor. But how do we do this? And this is number three. Jesus' perfect counsel comes through being with him. That's the simplest way to put it. When Jesus called his disciples and when he called you to himself. Not to read a book, not to figure out the perfect five-step plan, not to go through some process that someone is telling you about, not to figure out what industry he's called you to, not to get all your ducks in an order before you think about obeying him. No, he's called you right now to be with him. That's the call. And he is the counselor. When you are with him, you receive his counsel. That's what happened with the disciples. And I just want to break down really practically for you. Theologically, what that means is if you're a Christian, he's always with you. He said, I'm with you to the end of the age. I will never leave you or forsake you. So you have to know and take it to the bank that right now, with everything happening in your life, Jesus is with you. But then you practically have to learn to practice being with him. I like how Brother Lawrence said it. You have to practice his presence. It's very easy to practice a lot of other things in culture right now because culture is very distracting. It's very demanding on our time. We're hardly even bored anymore because we'll always find something to do. And if everything else fails us, we have our phone to go down to. So I want to tell you, if you want to really learn to receive his counsel, you've got to read the Bible. You've got to cling to his word. You've got to listen to what he says. Some of us pay tens of thousands of dollars to listen to what a human counselor will tell us, yet we let our Bible sit on the shelf and don't let his word wash over us on a daily or even weekly basis. Of course, we're struggling. He has spoken to you through the word. You've got to read it, memorize portions of it, study it, dig into it. Sit in places like this. I know I'm preaching to the choir. You're here. But let the word of God soak over you. I actually believe that when you're receiving the preaching of God's word and the teaching of God's word like this, in the place where God has called you to be planted and rooted, it has unique power in your life. I have found that with the Assemblies of God where I hold my credentials as a pastor. I've stayed with that family and that tribe because God called me to put my roots down there and therefore I did it and God honors that obedience and he speaks to me so profoundly when I'm in that context. Who can attest to this? For you, I know you're not like a credentialed minister per se, but if this is your church family, you lock in, you learn, you grow, you learn his word and then you learn to hear his whispers. Oftentimes his whispers will just remind you of his word, but his whispers will also literally direct your life. In the same way that Jesus spoke to Simon and said, go cast your net again. I'm 100% a believer that God can whisper to you and say, go do whatever it is again, and then he will breathe on it. It's obedience. He will whisper, but you have to learn to listen. And then you also learn to receive his counsel through the wise counsel of his children. So word, whispers, and wise counsel. I want to encourage you to take this very seriously because whatever counsel you're listening to shapes your life. David Guzik says, he may use the presence and words of another Christian to do it, but Jesus is our counselor. And I love that because we need to be reminded that when we're with other believers, we're actually fellowshipping with Jesus. That's why we love fellowshipping and talking about the things of God. It's one of my favorite things to do with people. I especially love it when someone is new in their faith or really, really on fire for the Lord. You just want to like fellowship with them in the Spirit of God, because in doing so, you're literally hanging out in the presence of Jesus. It's so powerful. Be with Jesus by being with the church. That's why the lie in culture right now that says you can be an individualized, privatized Christian is so insidious, because it takes you out of fellowship with Jesus. And so it becomes a real tactic of the enemy to get people receiving counsel that is not from God. And here's the principle why this is so important. Number four, you're always receiving counsel. Always. Whether it's good or bad, wise or foolish, godly or evil. You are listening to someone's voice. Always. It might be your own voice. And then I would ask you, is it saying things that are true to you? It might be the voice of someone who spoke to you when you were a child, a parent or an aunt or an uncle, a teacher, a pastor. And I would ask you, is whatever that voice speaking to you actually true? It could be the voice of a stranger. Because of technology, we see voices coming at us all day, every day. I have to catch myself every day not wasting too much time scrolling through, this is just my public confession, Instagram Reels. That's what gets me. Who's with me? That thing will pull me in, and you know, it's kind of like how God says to me, 1,000 days are like a day, and a day are like 1,000 or 10,000 years or whatever it is. That's how Instagram Reels are. You'll spend 30 minutes on there and think you spent 2 minutes. It's a real time sucker. And a lot of those voices that are coming from strangers, let me give you the eureka moment here, are not good for you. They're not all speaking truth to you. Some are. Depends on your algorithm. You can use your algorithm as a clear reflection of whatever you tend to look at. So let it be a litmus test for you. How is my algorithm going today? Is there any truth in it at all? If there's no truth in your algorithm and it's all kinds of other stuff, it could be a little bit of a wake-up call, because we also literally have the enemy of our souls who's trying to lie to you every day. He will use Reels. He will use the voice of strangers. He will use things you heard in second grade. He will bring them, literally demons, I know this is intense, but will whisper to you things that are lies from the pit of hell that someone spoke over your life in second grade to try to get you to believe you are who you aren't. It's a huge deal whose counsel you're receiving. But we can be hopeful about this, and I love how Charles Spurgeon articulates it. It was by a counselor that this world was ruined. Did not Satan mask himself in the serpent and counsel the woman with exceeding craftiness? He's talking about Adam and Eve in the garden. That she should take unto herself of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the hope that thereby she should be as God. Was it not that evil counsel which provoked our mother to rebel against her maker? And did it not, as the effect of sin, bring death into this world with all its train of woe? Ah, beloved, it was meant to be that the world should have a counselor to restore it if it had a counselor to destroy it. Satan's a counselor. Not all counselors are good. Some of us are being tormented by Satan the counselor because you're letting the voice in. He does not come to you looking like Satan. Scripture says he comes to you looking like an angel of light. You have to line everything up that you are choosing to believe with God's word. And it is hopeful, by the way, because I love that last line that Spurgeon said, if you could put it back up. It was meant to be that the world should have a counselor to restore it if it had a counselor to destroy it. Praise God that we have the wonderful counselor to come and crush the enemy. Praise the Lord that we have a wonderful counselor that has promised to be with us always and to never leave us. And sometimes his counsel is a rebuke. There's a time when Jesus rebuked Simon Peter and also simultaneously modeled how even Jesus had to monitor the voices he listens to. I'm going to read you out of Matthew 16. It won't be on screen, but it's verses 21 to 23. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer. So look at me for a second. This was confusing to the disciples because they still thought that he was going to be the conquering Roman overthrower, the political conqueror, a governmental leader, literally in the flesh in that moment. So when Jesus started saying, by the way, guys, I have to go turn myself over to suffer. And he said, I'm going to suffer at the hands of the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and I must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. He said that to his disciples. Peter took him aside and rebuked him and said, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." Because he loved Jesus. Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Jesus is demonstrating for us how harshly we should deal when the enemy tries to speak to us a plan that doesn't have in mind the things of God. It even came through one of his disciples, Peter. Jesus, in his humanity, was saying, "Peter, I don't have time for you to be aligning your voice with the voice of Satan. I rebuke you. You do not have in mind the things of God." Now, he brought Peter right back into the fold. He wasn't ousting Peter from the family of God, but he was also managing the voices that he should listen to and not listen to. And in doing so, he was also teaching Peter that, "Peter, whatever I say to you I need to do is right. You never need to question my plan, even when it doesn't make sense to you." And let me encourage you, there will be times when the wonderful counselor is doing things in your life that we do not understand. Can I get an amen? Sometimes the majority of the time. But that's okay, because you have a wonderful counselor that is guiding your steps. And let me remind you, I know this doesn't get a lot of amens or a lot of likes, but part of how the wonderful counselor will lead you will include suffering. It's part of the journey. In Christ, it actually becomes a gift to us. It is redeemed for God's purposes in our life. And the reason Peter was so confused in this moment is because, why are we talking about you having to be arrested and killed and suffering? That can't be your plan. But it was the plan of the wonderful counselor, because it was the plan of his heavenly Father. So take heart, regardless of what is happening in your world, even in your suffering, the wonderful counselor enters. I was talking to a young person recently who was asking the age-old question, why would God allow such evil and suffering in the world? If he's all-powerful and if he's all-good, why does the world look like it looks? And I was sharing with this group that we don't have all the answers to that. Part of it is the fallenness of our sinful nature, and God gives us choice, and there are results and consequences to our sin. But I reminded them what I want to remind you of right now. How incredible is it that we have a God who his chosen entry point into human history is that of a baby, which we're celebrating, but then his chosen redemption point is that of pain and suffering and redemption in the middle of it. It was a violent death. It was a brutal death. And it speaks to us that even in the midst of the pain caused by our own sin, our Redeemer comes in and brings light from the darkness. He's a God that does not shy away from the brokenness and the shame and the suffering and the violence of your life. Can we thank God for that? That's what we need. This is part of his nature. So your wonderful counselor will sit with you in perfect truth in whatever pain you're in. And he has tasted that same pain himself. And so here's my question for you to close the message. Number 5, what would your life look like right now if you were listening to the wonderful counselor? And I want to add a caveat to that, because some of you might think, I am listening to the wonderful counselor. And I just want to remind you, none of us are perfectly listening to him. So I want you to put yourself in the category that still needs to grow. I'm in that category too. How would your life change this week or right now if you were more fully listening to the wonderful counselor? Sometimes that closed door is a blessing. Sometimes the ended relationship is exactly what we need. Sometimes we need to hold to the word of the counselor when we have no idea how he's going to come through. And the way we do this is we come into agreement with his counsel. So even now, as I'm talking, prayerfully ask him, "Ask, what are you saying to me, wonderful counselor?" And as he speaks to you and reminds you of his word, come into agreement with it and use your voice. Maybe not right now, we don't have to all speaking out loud, but when you're driving around, when you're living your day out, speak out loud, "Yes, Lord, today I have access to the wonderful counselor. Your wonderfulness is enough for me. I have all I need, God. It's in you. I will walk your path and your plan for me. I know you have empowered me by your grace. I'm forgiven. I'm made new. I will make wise decisions even when they are difficult." I was with my family yesterday, and we were going out for a family lunch. We try to do family days on Saturday. They don't always happen now. It's crazy. With the stage of life Last night, both of the older girls, which are sitting right here, were out doing jobs, one at Chick-fil-A, one at a babysitting gig. Jess was out with the other girl doing some work. Clay was over with a friend, and I ended up picking them up. And I'm starting to have that realization of, wow, these kids, you raise them up, and then they're just out in the world, you know? I'm used to that stage where we're all just home all the time, and we're really kind of past that now. So we have to really fight for our family days and even just times that we can all be together. And we had a lunch yesterday and a morning. And the girls, I don't know how much you guys were involved in this, but of course, this is how it goes. I was so excited. I was going to put on one of my favorite Christmas albums when we got in the car. We were going to go up to the mall, get our ornaments, get some food. And as I was trying to rally everybody to go, fights just broke out in the house. Does that ever happen to you? It's like, guys, Christmas spirit. And I mean, it just fights to children. I mean, fighting each other. And it was really... I'm not calling, it was the two little ones. It wasn't these two. Kenzie might have been a little bit a part of it. I can't remember. Just fights and harshness with one another. We all do it. Our family is the same. Like, why are we being so harsh with each other right now? And then I'm kind of like triggered up a little bit. And then Jess is, I'm like, yeah. And I don't know if this actually happened yesterday, but this is how they go. Then maybe Jess responds a little bit too big. And I'm like, sweetheart, I start criticizing her. Stop doing that. And then I'm like upset. And then I'm like, child, what, you know, and just the whole thing started being like that. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm trying to like curate the moment. We're about to get in the car and put on For Him, Season of Love. That's one of my all-time favorite Christmas albums, For Him, Season of Love. And the first song is Season of Love. And it says, I really believe that the world would be much better if we shared the season of love. And we were like yelling, crying in the car. I'm like, get in. And you know, that whole thing, like, we got to go because we got to get back in time so they can get to work. I mean, the whole thing, it's high pressure. And, you just feel it slipping away, you know? And here's what's really powerful to do in moments like that. And this is what I did yesterday. I just started reminding myself. I asked myself literally this question. What would I do right now if I was listening to the Wonderful Counselor? And it started with just letting myself once again be softened and receive from him. And it's kind of a silly example. We weren't in, it wasn't like a war zone. We've had that. It was just little frustrations. But it does kind of kill the Christmas mood. It's not how we want to live. And so I just started speaking the grace of God to myself, reminding myself, therefore I could then be fully gracious with them through it. Because I was a little upset. They were messing up my moment. You know what I'm saying? Even once we got in the car, we started driving. I like to wait to put the song on until we get on the highway. I'm a little particular like that. I'm like waiting until we're like full speed. I like to put it on. I'm accelerating onto the highway. And I had the song queued up and ready to go. And then we were in the moment where we're getting on 65 North to go up into Cool Springs on the June Lake exit, and another little tension erupted. I was like, I can't play the music now. And Jess said, you want me to hit play? And I was like, no, the moment's not right. And then, I'm serious, this is my head. This is how I live. And then I was like, internally, I was like, well, I'm either not going to have this moment at all because we're going to get there in a few minutes. And so I said, just by faith, by grace, go ahead, play the song, sweetheart. So she put it on. And we had a great day. We had a great time at the mall. We walked around. But this is what you will find in life. You have to actually choose to speak and live out what the Wonderful Counselor says to you in the middle of the mess of your life. Can we attest to that? This is just the daily process. So I want to encourage you, actually speak it out loud. And to help illustrate, I want to give you an experiment. I learned this from someone else, but we're going to all do it together. So when I say go, I want you in your head to start counting to 10 slowly. 1, Mississippi, 2, Mississippi, 3, Mississippi, get up to 10, only in your heads. But then as soon as I say now, this will be your second prompt, I want you to say your name out loud. So we're all going to speak our name out loud together, first and last name. So the first part is silent, second part needs participation. Do we all understand? Okay, so when I say go, start counting silently, and then when I give you the prompt, say your name out loud. Go, count silently. All right, second prompt. Say your name. Very nice. Most likely, you're no longer counting in your head. And the question is, why did you stop counting? There's a principle here that I want you to get. Your mind is actually subject to your voice. And you didn't finish counting because I interrupted the flow of your thoughts and forced you to think about saying your name. Probably some of you are like, oh, let me make sure I say the right name, in a room full of other people, and you are no longer counting. And that's how it is, bear with me, with the daily flow of your inner dialogue. You will be laying on your couch later today or doing something in your life, going to bed tonight, and doing the inner dialogue that is negative. Or you'll be going to work tomorrow and you'll be complaining in your mind. Or you'll be thinking about your Christmas purchases and you'll be frustrated. Or whatever it is. You'll be in a family moment like I was yesterday and you'll have your own thoughts going. Here's the tool I'm trying to give you. You can actually physiologically and spiritually interrupt that by choosing to say out loud the agreement with the wonderful counselor. You get what I'm saying? It speaks into the atmosphere around you. What the actual truth is stops you from the monotonous counting that's hurting you, the negativity, and helps you aspire to what you're speaking. It's coming into agreement with the wonderful counselor. So the question is, what is the wonderful counselor saying to you? And how can you speak your life into agreement with that and then begin to live? Your body will actually follow your voice. It worked for me yesterday really powerfully. It's legitimate. It's not a hocus pocus trick. It's not a magic trick. It's just agreeing with the truth of God's word. And you'll begin to actually direct your life rather than being bounced around by whatever you're thinking about. Direct your life. Choose where you're aiming yourself. As the worship team comes, I want to tell you something that happened this morning. We were worshiping in first service, and Pastor Samuel was sharing a little bit about Advent, and it was encouraging me because I was seeing the anointing that rests on all these musicians. You know, Eric has an anointing on his life for drums, and I could just call out each of their names, and it was great to have Chris lead that song today too, wasn't it? That was awesome. The anointing is on his life and James's life and Dan's life and Worth's life and Michelle's life. And Samuel came up and he shared, and I can just sense the anointing. That's the touch of God, the empowerment of God's grace. And I'm so thankful. By the way, you're all anointed by God to live and to do whatever he's called you to do. That's living in the grace of God, the flow of his anointing. It's the only good things that happen through us are based on the anointing of God. And I haven't been like overly worrying about the church, but I do want to tell you, sometimes pastors worry about the church they pastor because they're in charge of overseeing it. I'm accountable to God for what happens here, the people, the resources, the facility, our staff, our board. I'm responsible to God for that. And so sometimes I can put a little bit too much of that on my shoulders. And I was reminded in first service today as I was worshiping, I felt like I heard one of those whispers. And I think God wants to say this to you. So close your eyes with me real quick. I felt like I heard this and I felt like it was for you today. And it's just in line with God's word. It's not like a new revelation, it's just a reminder of what God says to us through his word. And I want you to bring to the top of your mind right now, your life. Just think about your life. Step outside of it for a minute and look at it. And let the things you're worried about come to your mind. Let the things you're angry about or frustrated or maybe even you have hopelessness, just let them all come up. Even let the things you're thankful for. Just think about your life and see the whole picture. And I think here's what God wants to say to you about that today. Imagine your wonderful counselor. He wants to say this. It's four words. Don't worry, I'm here. Don't worry, I'm here. And it was a reminder that our wonderful counselor is not just available to us like when we go to his office. It's not about like we got to sign in and now we can finally talk to him. No. Our lives go down into death and we rise up into new life. What's the word? In Christ. Our new life is in him. He is in and through us. The wonderful counselor is in you. He lives with you. Your life is one with that of the wonderful counselor. You do not have to worry. He is in your life with you. He's there. You've got to remember it. Don't worry. God is here. Tell yourself that. Don't worry, Nathan. The wonderful counselor will help you. Don't worry, my friend. The wonderful counselor will help you. And one of the things he undoubtedly will remind you of is what we sang about in this song, that you were made for more. You were not made to just get by. He calls you to actually flourish. He calls you to operate by faith. He calls you to have courage and boldness and joy. That's his vision for your life. And it comes through receiving the right counsel. So as we stand together, I want to invite you to prayerfully sing this song with us again. The team is going to lead us. And as you sing this, you're not just in a room with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. You're with your wonderful counselor. You're with him right now. And he wants to speak to you. Let's sing together.